Joining us in conversation is Lisa Jordan, director of SHINE, a newly launched global campaign dedicated to ending energy poverty and unlocking new opportunities for the over 1 billion people who lack access to energy. SHINE makes the case to end energy poverty to foundations, communities of faith, and investors. Jordan is a senior philanthropic executive with a 20-year international career focused on social justice, impact, and systematic change. She has served with governments and civic organizations across Europe and the United States. The first question we have is, why SHINE and why now? This is obviously a new campaign, and it would be great to hear what the campaign hopes to achieve in concrete terms with regard to scaling finance.
Great. So, William, as you know, and I think as many of the people who are involved in the access to energy movement are aware, 1.1 billion people currently lack access to energy. And we are in the process of an energy transition to clean and renewable energy across the world. And it's a real opportunity for us to focus on, as a community, to focus on those 1.1 billion people who are lacking access. And it's a real opportunity for us to end energy poverty. And why is it a real opportunity at this moment? We have plummeting prices for new technologies. We have mobile renewable energy technologies that can reach the last mile very, very easily. And that was not true 5 years ago. And a lot of people outside of our community are not aware of that fact. They're not aware of the unprecedented opportunity that we have at this point in time to end energy poverty. So SHINE's purpose really is to bring that good news message to many development actors, to investors, to faith communities across the globe about the opportunity that sits in front of us to really address a key area of intervention that will enable us to be able to reach many of the other development goals, the sustainable development goals that were agreed upon by world leaders in 2015. So I think right now the importance of SHINE is to illuminate, and sorry for the pun, but to illuminate the opportunities that are available for us to really win on this particular goal.
Great. Well, I'd like to dig into the issue of the faith community for a minute, if you don't mind. Obviously, the global faith community, it's made up of billions of people, a huge number of influential institutions. Immediately coming to mind for me anyway is the Pope. He's come out in a very outspoken manner in support of climate action and social justice, and he's just one of many from the faith community who are supporting what I would imagine are SHINE's goals. So I'm wondering, what kind of role should this community play, the faith community, both in terms of investing in ending energy poverty, but also in mobilizing the countless number of people worldwide who are part of that faith community?
Yeah, I feel very fortunate and blessed, I have to say, to be able to work with so many people of faith and so many faith organizations in this coalition, in the SHINE coalition. So just to set the stage a little bit, SHINE has friends and partners from the Hindi communities, from the Islamic communities, from the Christian communities, and from the Jewish communities. So we are really, we're really ecumenical in that sense. We have all of the major religions with us. And within those religions, we have a lot of faith partners who are well-organized: Islamic Relief Worldwide, the World Council of Churches, the American Jewish World Service. These are all members of SHINE and are organized really to alleviate poverty in many places around the world, and have over the last decade, almost every single faith that you can imagine has some kind of a statement or some kind of approach to care for creation. And so, and you're right, the faith communities have incredible agency, if you will, all the way from the centers of power in the world, right down to the last mile. And that's why we feel so fortunate to be able to work with the faith communities, because they have this both this depth and breadth of reach across the globe, but they are also well organized and have a voice and an agency within policy circles. And across the access to energy issue, we need all of those types of agencies engaged. We need the depth in order to be able to reach the last mile, and that breadth. We need very strong voices on advocacy. And we also need people who can really champion solutions. So across each one of the faith communities, we have seen Sharia law changed so that it is possible for the Islamic community to work within access to energy and work within clean energy. A very strong statement coming out last year on Sharia law from the United States Arab Council and Islamic Council. We have the Pope's statement, as you articulated just this past weekend, to the oil companies, really articulating that it's their responsibility to keep the oil in the ground, and we should serve this issue of access to energy through clean and renewable energy. And there's a real, the Pope himself has come out and said access to energy is really the key issue here that we need to see enabled through renewable energy. So that was a very powerful statement on his part. Absolutely fabulous. And we've also seen the World Evangelical Alliance, which we announced at our launch, commit to greening 20% of their footprint in countries that Sustainable Energy for All has articulated as high impact countries. And that's a very powerful commitment to the access to energy goals. And it's a very powerful commitment because that community alone has 680 million people in it. So, and many, 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 many of those individuals are coming from the high impact countries themselves. So if the World Evangelical Alliance greens their churches, greens their community centers, puts solar panels on the top of their health centers, puts solar panels on the top of their churches and schools, it will make a tremendous difference in the lives of people who worship within those communities. But it will also make a tremendous climate difference in terms of carbon reduction. So that's, you know, the faith communities coming forward to really work together to end energy poverty is incredibly powerful. And it's what also makes SHINE quite unique and different from other organizations that are engaged and share our goals.
Yeah, it's really exciting, the momentum that you have the potential to create through SHINE, through the faith community. So, if you had to imagine what the results of SHINE would be 2 years from now, 5 years from now, what would they be? Would it be specific targets for mobilizing finance? Would it be trying to mobilize at the grassroots a certain number of people? And what do you need to get there? And you've already talked about some of the encouraging movement that's happened so far, but what else, you know, would you see is needed to sort of get to that vision that you have for 2 or 5 years or whatever it is down in the future?
So let me put forward SHINE's commitments to the field for you. I think just to start finding an answer to the question that you've asked. The first thing that SHINE really wants to do is unlock financing and mobilize new capital for this field. And that means increasing the flow of capital to social enterprises, viable businesses that have solutions that can be scaled. So we are trying to identify investment opportunities for folks who are mission-driven investors. We're trying to accompany those partners in their journey to learn about access to energy. We would like to be able to align capital when appropriate and try to unlock some new forms of capital, especially in what's often described as the missing middle of the capital spectrum, where you need different kinds of both concessionary tools, moving towards more commercial tools in the financing world. And ultimately to leverage greater resources to the field. When we launched on May 3rd, we were very, very fortunate to have over $100 million in new commitments come into this field as part of our launch. And I think that we can probably double that over the next couple of years. And that's what we're aiming for, is to unlock somewhere between 100 to 200 million in new financing over the next up to 2020. So that's our first goal that you've asked us for. And the second one is that we would like to see, and you know, it goes hand in hand, and Power for All's own work on this front has been incredibly important. We need an enabling environment in order for that capital to be used for productive purpose. And that enabling environment includes advocacy to educate decision makers about the opportunity for distributed solutions and to remove many of the barriers that exist within the field. And we'd also like to see more agency come from demand-driven approaches towards access to energy. So our second commitment is really to champion solutions. And we can only do that with partners like Power for All, with partners like the Access Coalition, Practical Action, SE for All, et cetera. So that's really a joint group effort that we would like to be able to help facilitate at the highest levels of policymaking, really unleashing voice from those who are experts in this field and from the communities who actually need access to energy to be able to inform the policy dialogues. And then the last commitment that we have to the field is around empowering local communities. We are supporting local capacities and community-based approaches, making community leadership a hallmark of our coalition. So this regularly includes things around community organizing and identifying those demand-driven solutions and the holistic development approaches to access to energy, because energy in and of itself, as you know, is an enabler for economic empowerment, for human rights, for health and education outcomes to develop in a much stronger way. And so we would like to be able to ensure that the kind of energy resources that are being developed have that those development outcomes associated with them. And that requires that we are able to bring in many new partners into the field of access to energy who are traditionally oriented towards peace or education or health or women's economic empowerment or human rights. So really to expand the field and have more actors coming into the field who are traditionally not associated with climate change or renewable energy is another goal for SHINE. And that, again, has to be done in coalition with the faith organizations we're working with and with other bigger development agencies. So we have these three pieces that we're working on: unlocking financing, champion solutions, and empowering local communities. And all of them require that there's a flexible and larger tent, if you will, which allows for new partners to come in, either with financing or with different sets of development concerns where we can attach an access to energy component to those development concerns.
That was a fantastic summary, Lisa.
That was a very long statement, really.
Yeah, it was. I think it really summarized, SHINE very, very nicely. And of course, Power for All is fully behind the SHINE campaign, and we look forward to working with you and your colleague more intimately to help achieve those three top objectives in the coming years. And for those of you who are interested in learning more about SHINE, you can go to their website, shineinvest.org. And I'm sure, Lisa, you'd be also happy to receive inquiries from anybody who's listening. But be rest assured that Power for All is within the tent and hopefully holding up one of the poles of that tent as SHINE moves forward. But thank you, Lisa, for taking time to speak with us. And we look forward to working with you closely moving forward.
Yeah, thank you, William. And we appreciate everything that Power for All is doing. And I'm so happy to be able to be working in partnership with you. So thank you very much. And thanks for joining SHINE. And thanks for being part of this global winning movement.
You are welcome.